All right, guys, I've got some Sonic trivia questions for you. All right, so first one's an easy one. What's the first Sega game to feature Sonic the Hedgehog? Radmobile.
Yeah. It's Radmobile.
Radmobile. I'm sorry.
It could be mobile. Mobile. It's a thing that's over a baby's crib, right? You like up. Yeah. That mobile is rad, and that baby will be rad. Okay.
All right, you got it. Well done. Okay, what's the first Sonic game to feature Sonic, Mighty, and Ray?
Sega Sonic the Arcade.
Okay, yeah.
Right. Well, it's called Sega Sonic the Hedgehog. Arcade is not in the title.
Okay, sorry. You're right. You're right. I'm out.
Judges accept all of the above. Okay, now, here's the tricky one. What's the second Sonic game to feature Sonic, Mighty, and Ray?
Uh-oh.
It's not Sonic Mania Plus?
Oh, I'm sorry. The judges say no. David, do you want to steal?
Oh, should I steal? It's because you told me this before, which is why I know the answer, because it wouldn't have occurred to me. But yes, the correct answer is, once again, Radmobile, or mobile, for the Sega Saturn.
That's right. Known as Gale Racer in the port. All right, so final question. What are the Sonic games on the Saturn that feature Sonic and Flicky?
Sonic 3D Blast Flicky's Island.
All right, one.
All right, that's a good one. Sonic R.
Sonic Jam.
Yeah, both.
Well, yeah. So all three main Sonic games.
There's one more.
Fighters Mega Mix.
Good guess.
Right. No, Sonic isn't in that game. Bean and Bark are.
Well, we don't know. Bo, what is it?
Okay, well, trick is in all of these questions. Gale Racer, once again, or Radmobile. So this bit about Flicky is brand new. I was just, trawling through the Gale Racer source code, as you do. And what do you know? I found Flicky hiding in there. If you put in a button code, hold A, B, and start as the race starts, and Flicky comes right up. So nobody knew this for 29 years, and now we know. So update your trivia books, and let's start the show.
Live from Podcatcher of Choice, it's Sonic Weekly. We're back, baby. We're back. As you might have surmised, this is a show about Sonic the Hedgehog that releases once every 7 days or so. Very happy to have you back on the show with us, on the show, in the show, with the show. You're listening to the show. We're talking with you. It's a conversation. You can comment. You can send us an email. My name is Grant. I wasn't here last week, but what a great episode it was. It was hosted by Bo, who's with us here. Hi, Bo.
Welcome, Get Played listeners. I'm glad you guys got to see a weird episode where Grant wasn't on it after you heard him on Get Played. We're back to normal here.
Yes, welcome to any new listeners, and welcome to the star of our show, David the Lurker. Hi, David.
Oh, hi, Grant. Hi, Bo. Yes, I'm assuming people must have been super confused. Yes. Oh, and welcome back, Grant, because, right, you weren't here. Because you were there, you were getting played. I listened to it. I listened to the episode before we started recording. I was just finishing it up. You know what? Would it be bold to say, Grant, that you were the best part of the episode? Oh.
You know what I thought was the best part of the episode is at the beginning where they're doing a little skit about, all right, which Sonic character would you cut? It's like, okay, Honey the Cat. And they're like, no, I can't cut Honey. And they're like, okay, fine. Right. Beam of Dynamite. You know, that went on like 7 beats too long. I thought it was great the entire time. I could have listened to another 10 minutes of it.
I was dying laughing to it. They recorded that, I think, after I had left.
Right.
And it was so funny to listen to. And it's one of my favorite things.
Yes, so it is very strange. Like it's very strange to hear somebody say Nicole the HoloLynx aloud, because I'm like, I don't even know Sonic fans who say that whole thing aloud.
There was actually one character that they mentioned in that Get Played cold open that I didn't immediately know, which was Gold the Tenrec or Tenorak.
Yeah.
Who's that?
I believe that's a character from the post reboot Archie, because Surge is a Tenrec, right. However you say it, but Gold, sure. it is I feel like As is the case with most of the new characters that were introduced in post-reboot Archie, they get a couple issues and then sort of vanish because they didn't have enough time. They were introducing things all over the place.
Okay, take a moment to acquaint yourself with Gold the Tenrec. Let me also tell the listener just a little highlight reel of where we're going in this episode. A lot to talk about. We're going to talk about the IHOP stuff. We're going to talk about Fearless Year of Shadow debuting last week. You guys were wondering on the show of like, is this the Year of Shadow? Where, and then just a couple days later, boom, Year of Shadow debuts, rolls out with a couple new spots, I guess you would call them. And we're going to talk about one of the Dark Horse fan favorites in the series, Sonic and the Black Knight. We're going to talk about it with our guest, who is also the YouTube czar of Sonic Weekly. And that's Jack of Old Games. Hi, Jack.
Hey, you guys said I wouldn't be back, but I'm back.
Did we say you wouldn't be back?
You weren't here for that.
I think at the end of one of these episodes, I was like, oh yeah, maybe he'll come back one day. But after this one, I don't know.
I kept the faith. I thought he would be back.
Let's talk. Okay, so you guys talked about IHOP a bit last week. IHOP has been talked about anywhere there's been conversation about breakfast or Sonic the Hedgehog. And as usual, though we're on a weekly cadence, we're somehow always a little late or a little early when we're recording to like the news. So it's like everybody's already covered IHOP with thick coats of syrupy takes. So I don't know what else we can say about it, but I will say that I did go with Ashlyn, my wife, to an IHOP, and I ordered the blueberry pancakes. And when I was ordering it, I said to the waitress said, hi, what would you like? And I said, I would like to order the blueberry, and she was like, yeah, the blueberry pancakes. She was like, yeah, I was like, yeah, yeah, but the blue blur, the blue blur blam blary blam, the blue blur blam, I have a podcast, blue blur blueberry, blue blueberry blueberry blue blur blur pancakes. And she was, you know, she was tapping her foot and tapping her watch. I think by the end she was laying on the ground and like,
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Did you get a I'm waiting from her?
I'm waiting. But yeah, the pancakes came as promised, and Ashlyn got the Shadow Chaos Control chocolate chip pancakes. And what did you guys order when you went? Jack, I know you went recently. What was your order for from the Sonic IHOP menu?
I found myself on a road trip to Vegas recently, and that was the stopping point of choice. My partner was like, we got to go to IHOP. Like, cool, I'm going to do the most cursed thing possible. And went in there and ordered the Shadow Stack. I didn't know about the half-off onion rings if you go Sonic style.
You got to ask for it. They're not going to offer it.
That's how they get you.
That's true. They lose money on every onion ring sold, I guess.
Oh, that's... then I definitely want to order more.
Yeah.
Get more, you can get more of the Amy skin to sell on eBay or something.
Yes, so the incentive for going to IHOP is you get the pan coins to unlock the Retro Diner IHOP Amy DLC costume in Sonic Superstars, which we have an overabundance of. Because Smoovies, our editor and our fourth, what do you call it, pillar? Fourth pillar of Sonic Weekly, out of, let's say, five pillars. Let's say six pillars, including you, the listener. Let's say seven pillars, because there's seven Chaos Emeralds. Your mom could be involved. Anyway, the point is that Amy's got a costume, and we've got extra pan coins. And so if you would like the pan coins, if you can't, particularly if you don't live in the United States, because the... United States and I think Canada, maybe Canada. I actually don't know about Canada. I haven't verified Canada. But anyway, it's not available everywhere. So if you would like the costume, email sonicweeklypodcast@gmail.com. And we'll give you as many as we got. We have a few extras. And yeah, there you go. All you have to do is email and say, hey, I listened about 10 minutes into the episode.
Were the pan coins a pre-existing thing, or are they introducing the pan coins for this Sonic promotion?
That lore is new, I think.
I thought the pan coins were pre-established because on the episode of Get Played that I listened to, one of the hosts was like, oh, I lost all my pan coins from March, implying that they already existed.
You're right. There's a whole app. What am I talking about?
Right.
There's a whole economy.
There is a...
At what point in your life do you sit there and go, oh, wait, before I order at IHOP, let me open up the IHOP app so that I can get my pan coins?
I assume this is just a whole world because, like, I got a guy I went to college with who's just, like, on every rewards game. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm getting 3% off my gum with my Trident app. I'm like,
what? You know,
that's money that could go to your kid's college fund. And it's right. Like, yeah. And, you know, the airlines, they don't know what's going to hit them when I redeem all these miles.
We got 150 million. All right. I looked it up. IHOP Rewards, International Bank of Pancakes. The YouTube video introducing it was uploaded March 14th, 2022. So
okay.
We've had at least 2 years worth of pan coins, assuming that this is the actual start of them all. And you can play them on the stack market, which is
that's right. Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm saying. And then you can also get like Sonic Frontiers and Sonic Superstars. You can get the games themselves if you get something like. You basically have to spend $200. But if you have like a kid's birthday party or something, mm-hmm. and you're paying, then you get, it's like, hey, you also get a free, you know, not free, but you get the additional gift of Sonic Frontiers. And then what a happy birthday that might be for this theoretical, hypothetical, heartwarming story. Bo, David, did you guys go to IHOP? Have you been to IHOP anytime recently?
No, we haven't gone to IHOP yet. We should. I was like, oh, I have no idea if there's any IHOPs near here. And I never even bothered to look it up until this very moment. And it's like, oh, yeah, there's one 10 minutes away. So, you know what? Maybe this week we will continue. Because we've been talking about IHOP. We talked about it last week. This week, we may as well continue it. Make it. We'll call this the month of IHOP, the month of Pancoin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if there's a year of something, each month should have a theme. And since there's a certain character who has a certain year, this is their month.
Ooh.
About their pan. What? Oh,
who do you mean?
Oh, well, you know, like there's this character. He's like the coolest. I don't know if you're familiar.
Sonic.
Oh, well, Sonic used to be the coolest until 2001.
Way past cool.
Right. Uh-oh. He was way past cool. But this character.
How about the ultimate life form?
That's the right.
Bio lizard.
The bio.
Not the prototype.
Not the prototype.
Real deal.
Oh, shit.
Right.
Yes, the year of shadow.
It's fearless, colon.
Fearless, colon, the year, underline.
Year of shadow. I don't even know if there's a colon. It doesn't look like there actually is a colon. I'll pretend.
There is an underline, though.
There is an underline. Yes, fearless, year of shadow. This was... announced a couple days ago. Sonic Stadium says Sega has launched a brand new fan celebration campaign in honor of Shadow the Hedgehog, aimed at celebrating what it means to be fearless and embracing your inner shadow. Right, because last year Sega had the Fast Friends Forever promotion, which was just focusing on the core four, Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, and Amy, not Shadow. Shadow was left out, and they've given him his own year. We should read what it means and tell me what this feels like to you in your heart and soul. And this includes Jack, who is sitting here, because I know you do have Shadow inside your heart, right?
We all do.
In 2024, we're bringing Shadow into the light with a new fan celebration campaign, Fearless, colon. Oh, there's a colon in this part, Year of Shadow. While we ran with our successful Fast Friends Forever program last year, our new annual campaign this year celebrates what it means to be fearless and embracing your inner shadow. In all caps, break barriers, be unafraid, be at your best, and do it all with a powerful confidence. But don't just take it from us. Witness it from the ultimate life form himself.
I got a lot of thoughts here. So number one, I like how they're like marketing the campaign to us as a campaign. It's like we're kind of like getting a look into like a marketing trade magazine.
Oh, is this a leaked PDF that we're
like, you know, Video Game Advertisers Monthly has an interview with, you know, Sega Marketing, and they're like, we're really excited about this new campaign. So that's my first thought. Second thought is I like how there's a four in the list, because you know, if I'm making a list, mm-hmm. I'm not a pro. I'm going to do three. I'm going to do, you know, Fast Friends Forever, right? But they're like, right. No, mm-hmm. We've got four principles. And do I have a third one? No, I'm going to zag and I'm going to go two. Two thoughts.
Two thoughts. Right. It was also accompanied with a video featuring some girl moving into the suburbs and being sad until Shadow tells her to stop it. Don't be sad. And she's like, yeah, okay, I'll bike. Cool. And make friends.
How does Shadow appear to her in this video?
I guess she's having a break from reality, right? Isn't that how it goes? Where
the drawing from her notebook comes to life. And she realizes she needs to be fearless.
Yeah. And that's right. Shadow tells her what to do. So Shadow, I saw a tweet where it's like, this is what every Shadow fan does. Probably they just imagine Shadow telling them how to fix their life. And I mean, hey, if it works,
I imagine it would probably work, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if the advice Shadow would give would be fearless, though. I would think it would.
Shadow like... as a self-empowerment tool is a interesting take.
Yeah, I could see authentic, right? You're mm-hmm. the fake hedgehog. Right. That's number one. And I could also see, right, amnesiac, like forgive and forget. That's good advice from Shadow. And also run away, like just chaos control yourself out of this bad situation.
Right.
It works every time.
I was looking at it, and I was a little confused because I feel like a lot of these could just apply to Sonic, the big bold caps. Like, be unafraid. Who's unafraid? Oh, it's Sonic the Hedgehog. Oh, be at your best. Who tells you to be at your best? It's Sonic the Hedgehog. Powerful confidence? I feel like that's what Sonic would tell you. Break barriers? I mean, maybe. Me? I mean, he rolls into a ball. He did that in Green Hill Zone.
You know, the fearless thing, though, is a Taylor Swift thing. That's a name of a song or an album.
One of the two.
And I think it's an album. It could be both. And right. I think it released the Taylor's version of it in April, whatever day this came out.
They're like, we're going to get some of the Google traffic out of that. Like a Taylor fan is just going to be like, hey, what's this Shadow?
Well, I don't know. I can't decide if it's just a cosmic coincidence or if like maybe there are, you know, diehard Swifties. Working on the campaign.
Somewhere out there.
2021. Right. April 9th. Wow. That's who knew? I didn't know that it was the same day that maybe Taylor Swift bought Sega.
Maybe.
Have we not had this conversation? Has Taylor Swift played Sonic?
Whoa, that's a good question.
Probably, right?
Probably. Well,
she's in the right. She's in her early.
She's born 1989. So,
89. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's the name of the album. I'm like, I know she. It was then. So Sonic would have been in her wheelhouse, right? As a child. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's look up Taylor Swift Sonic the Hedgehog and see what Google...
I'm going to bet that she has played a Sonic Advance, a Sonic Rush, perhaps.
You think the mobile's like you're on tour and you got to bunch of hours on the bus.
But, you know, I also think that it's possible that maybe she was playing Wii games and she may have even played Sonic and the Secret Rings and Sonic and the Black Knight and Sonic Colors. She might have had a Wii on that bus.
Okay. When you look that up, you get some weird AI art of Sonic the Hedgehog and Taylor Swift.
I can't believe you didn't just discover every AMV of Shadow and Taylor Swift music.
Oh, right, because Shadow, this is also something I had forgotten about. It was established during the Sonic Twitter takeover in 2022. that Shadow the Hedgehog is a Swiftie. He enjoys right. Taylor Swift. So it makes sense that he would want to align his campaign with the mm-hmm. release date of a Taylor Swift album, wow. especially one where it's Fearless Taylor's version. She's taking back her material, you know, because mm-hmm. she couldn't get control of the master tapes. And she's like, well, then I'm going to re-record it because I have control of the actual songs themselves. Mm-hmm. So she was being fearless, right?
Yeah.
So if we yeah. look at the 4 point, she breaking barriers. She's a huge pop star, unafraid. Like, she's not worried about what people have to say to her. She's gonna keep singing. She's a tortured poet. Her new album's coming soon. Be at your best. I mean, she's at the top of her game, right? Yeah. The Eras Tour, smashing records. Do it all with a powerful confidence. I would say it would be hard
to
argue.
It's the year of Taylor Swift.
It's the year of
this year. Finally, is the year of Taylor Swift. I think.
Okay, yeah. I finally understand the campaign.
Shadow likes Taylor Swift. What Sonic like Rihanna and Tails likes Olivia Rodrigo. And what do we think?
Yeah, that all kind of works.
Okay, well, who does Amy like?
Oh, that's in Murder of the Sonic the Hedgehog. Doesn't Shadow buy her concert tickets for?
It's that B.
Yeah,
that B band that I can't even think of. The name of, but yes, she does have an in-universe.
Yeah, who does Amy Rose listen to?
Who would she stan is what I
could see her being very into Britney Spears.
Right. Early to Amy definitely
the right age to have, you know, in terms of when she was created in the universe.
Yes, Sonic Adventure Amy Rose is definitely listening to Britney Spears all day, every day. Yeah. Well, who else is big? What's her face? Billie Eilish?
Billie Eilish, there you go.
Right, I mean, she's got two Oscars. I'm sure Amy was a fan of the Barbie movie. And
what about Knuckles? Knuckles is into,
great.
Probably Beyonce.
Doja Cat.
Yeah.
I could see
big
that.
The cat's into Doja Cat.
Oh, right. Yeah. No relation, but
no relation.
Yeah.
Right.
But just fellow.
Right.
Yeah. Fearless felines.
Yeah.
Eggman is listening to. What do you think?
Eggman likes Kesha.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
I can see that.
Yeah.
TikTok, motherfuckers. Gonna give myself a promotion.
Wow.
I don't connect at all, but you know, every time I think about the promotion line, I laugh.
Sonic the Hedgehog. Shadow the Hedgehog. And you know who else is having a big year, but more quietly, or just maybe off to the side, I guess, is Knuckles. Because this is the anniversary year of Sonic 3 and Knuckles.
Yeah.
Of both Sonic 3 and Sonic and Knuckles, and Knuckles in Sonic 2 and Blue Spheres. And there's going to be the new Paramount series, which debuts pretty soon. I think the next time. No, we've got, not next week, but the right, because it's the 20 something.
26.
18. Yeah.
26.
That's right.
26. Okay. So.
Right.
So, yeah. We'll be a little late to it.
We will. Of course. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Well, no, we already established we're going to talk about one episode per week.
That we're totally
draw
works for me.
This out.
Just talk about every scene featuring Wade. And only Wade.
Yeah, we're gonna get deep into the Wade lore. We're gonna wade into the Wade depths.
We are going.
That'll be the name of the segment. Wade into the depths.
Oh wow, I think we should do the Wade cut of the Knuckles show, right? Where it's only the Wade scene. So anything else,
like Garfield without Garfield, but for Wade. Yeah.
I mean, Knuckles will be with Wade, so we'll see a little of Knuckles. But we should just do the Wade stuff. So
you could present it as Wade's hallucination.
That's what I was thinking. Like, Garfield without Garfield is like a really dark look at the Garfield series. And then this could be the same.
So it's just Wade who's imagined the previous two movies. And he's like, oh, remember Dr. Robotnik attacked the city? And it's like, who's Dr. Robotnik? It's like, yeah, Tom, you got that hedgehog living in your attic.
He's like, how did you guys get from Hawaii back to Green Hill? It doesn't make any sense at all. And like, what are you talking
about? So we took a plane. What do you think?
you know what? We are on the right time to record and be timely is the CinemaCon Little bit of news on Sonic Movie 3. No spoilers. I don't think these are spoilers. If you're listening, these are not spoilers.
If you want to fast forward a couple minutes, right? Like, if you don't want to know anything about the Sonic 3 movie,
if you don't want to know anything, what are you doing?
Right. Basically, it's a trailer. Like, I'm sure that the official trailer will be similar, but yeah, this one is only for CinemaCon attendees. I watched a video of a couple guys being like, "I like Sonic," and they also talked about, I don't remember if we mentioned it or if this interview was after the last time we recorded, one of the producers was like, "Oh, I want to turn the Sonic movies into an Avengers-style franchise," right? Like,
right.
The movies are the big events.
A million the main characters. Producer, yeah. Toby, is it Asher?
Sure. I'm
pretty sure it's Toby Asher. Toby Asher is the producer who is talking about making the Sonic movies Avengers level, you know, connections. I think that is all implying that movie 3 is not going to have Amy or Rouge. I think people need to, like, possibly, even though I think we all want that, but I think like we've talked about before, the movie's just probably going to not have room for all of these additional characters, plus the characters existing from the first two movies, not to mention whoever might be connecting from the Knuckles series. That's not to say, I do think if we're going to get Rouge the Bat, it's probably a surprise in the Knuckles series. Otherwise, I think it's more like probably a down the line kind of thing. For CinemaCon, they were saying that Shadow's in the movie. Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles are fighting Shadow. Apparently Shadow's motorcycle, and the Fearless website also makes a point of bringing some attention to Dark Rider, which apparently is now part of the Shadow lore, which makes it... And in fact, they clarify that it wasn't called Dark Rider until Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing. So canonically,
Shenmue is part of the Sonic universe.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's why I'm here. All right. Y'all are gonna sit down here and listen to my 2-hour TED talk about Shenmue.
I am in rapt attention. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right. So it all started on the Sega Saturn. Bo's favorite system. True.
Yeah.
How long do we want this RPG to actually go on?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun tale. I mean, it, you know.
Right. Do we think there are any builds? Did they make Saturn discs that somebody could potentially, like, drop and pick up?
There appears to be, based on the footage that's out there, those are definitely running at Saturn frame rates. I think that was captured on an actual Saturn. I think there's a disc somewhere.
I want that
somewhere somewhere in one of Yu Suzuki's underlings' basements. There's a disc at high risk of rot.
They should preserve it. I guess if Shenmue was in a better place, waiting for Shenmue 4, waiting for Shenmue 5,
up through 16.
Right. Well, there's 16 chapters, but not each game is one chapter, right? Like, the first game is one chapter.
The second chapter occurs in a comic book. That's the most frustrating damn thing.
It is.
No, it's not the most frustrating thing. The most frustrating thing is the third game doesn't advance the story at all.
That is pretty legendary.
Do you want to know how much money I gave to that fucking Kickstarter?
Wow.
How much? Tell us.
Yeah.
Wait. We'll make a Price is Right game out of it. Okay.
Okay.
I think 240. Oh,
okay, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go 241.
Whoa! I'm gonna say.
No, I'm just kidding. But I'll say 300. I will go higher.
300. Okay, I'm gonna say 275. I'll go in between.
Grant is the winner. I gave $550 to that damn Kickstarter.
You gave $550 to Yu Suzuki? Like,
I really loved Shenmue.
What did you get out of that 550? What were the bonuses?
I got the fancy, nice version of the game for PS4. Mm-hmm. I got a I saved Shenmue t-shirt.
I got
a bunch of capsule toys in a fake little capsule toy box thing.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, that's
and cool. I got a signed poster of Ren.
Oh, damn. Nice.
Yeah, wow. That's a lot.
Actually, Shenmue was like the first game in my game hacking career. So I had to import it. And then I had to learn how to hex edit the save from the US version of Shenmue the first so I could carry over my items to Shenmue the second and then immediately have them get stolen in the game because it doesn't let you like start off in too good of a position.
Well, then what's the point of carrying them over if they got all stolen?
So if you really want to game it, you can like sell all your capsule toys for lighters and then the kid doesn't steal your lighters and then you sell them all back afterward and then you can start out with some extra money. It's kind of not worth it though. It takes like 20 minutes to like.
You don't need a lot of money in Shenmue 2 to get by. You need to go like work at the docks for like one shift every 2 days and you're fine.
Now the lesson from Shenmue 2 is that gambling is awesome and you can't lose, kids.
Would you like to play a game of Lucky Hit?
Yes, I would.
Welcome back to Sonic Weekly.
We
talk about Sonic the Hedgehog once every 7 days or so. What were we talking about before we went off on the show?
The Sonic 3 movie.
Sonic 3 CinemaCon.
I guess
Shadow's in the movie. Shadow. Dark Rider is the motorcycle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sonic and Sega All-Stars. Shenmue is canon.
Yes.
Now, CinemaCon. Okay, David, I know you got. Let me just get
this
and then you take it. But CinemaCon, Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles are fighting Shadow.
Uh-huh.
The three of them combined are not equal or better than Shadow, apparently. And to me, this is the major thing. I think we get Eggman in the suit. I think we get a game accurate round Eggman. We know that Jim Carrey has been wanting to wear the suit for at least a full movie. Like we know that he wanted to do it for movie two. Maybe even as far back as movie one. I don't really remember when he started bringing it up in interviews, but
I kind of like the idea that he's like becoming Eggman more every movie.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's a pretty fun arc, I guess, a space colony arc. So that is the I haven't seen. I don't think there's any leaked footage of it. Just that very short description.
Yeah, I was looking for leaked footage. I was scrolling through YouTube. There's a lot of fake footage. Like, oh, here's that. Remember the end of Sonic 2? I'm like, yeah, I remember the end of Sonic 2. I remember Shadow. Oh yeah, you used Adobe and made Kristen Ritter's name appear. Thanks. yes, I think I'm excited about Fat Suit Eggman. That is the most exciting thing to me at the moment. There's also a description where, apparently we don't hear Shadow at all in the trailer. So we don't know who's voicing the character. So rumors can still continue to abound is what I was trying to say to somebody.
And in fact, can we do that for a second?
Oh yeah.
Let's steal this from Twitter. There was a good one that was like, okay, pitch your Shadow voice actor,
mm-hmm.
but you can't use any of the ones that have been like popularly fan cast. So no Keanu, no Hayden Christensen, no Robert Pattinson. I don't know. Like, I think those are the major ones.
Okay.
Can you think of somebody who could do a good Shadow off the top of your head? I'll give you a couple.
I would have said Kid Cudi, but he's going to be in the Knuckles show. So,
no. Right. So you can't say Kid Cudi.
I can't say Kid Cudi.
Because he is going to be in the Knuckles show.
He's in the show.
A couple of options. Will Arnett, Bryan Cranston, Michael Keaton.
Oh, man.
Very older Shadow.
Yeah, both of those Bryan Cranston and Michael Keaton, I would be 110% in for either of them being Shadow. I'll say that right now.
Because he is an old man. You know, it, like, if you, yeah, like, he is old. He comes from a distant time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he might have a, I don't know. I'm just saying names. But, Jack, what do you think? Who would you...
And going off what you were saying, I kind of like Aaron Paul for it, I think. He plays his voice up a lot, but he has a great down voice for this sort of thing.
Down voice. Love them at Coachella. Down voice. They wouldn't play Coachella. They would be at the Warped Tour.
Taylor Swift, I think.
Taylor Swift Shadow. Playing Shadow. Yeah. She could do it. What can't she do? I've seen the Eras Tour movie on Disney Plus.
Right. She should be in more films, right? She was in Cats.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't she
a cinematography masterpiece?
Bo, okay, it can't be Kid Cudi.
Can't be Kid Cudi. Michael B. Jordan? Does he do any voice work?
Be good. Sure. Michael B. Jordan.
He does. He was on the Genlock show that Rooster Teeth was doing, I think, before they closed shop. I don't know if he was any good or not. I never watched it.
I could see Christian Bale be Shadow, right? If we're going through the Batmans, like,
sure.
Clooney could be Shadow, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe not Clooney.
Okay, well, that was boring. Sorry about that.
Okay, what about actors who are no longer with us, like a vintage actor? Who do you think would have been a great Shadow?
Orson Welles.
Okay. What about Burt Reynolds? Do you think Burt Reynolds would have been a
he would have been a great Shadow?
Jimmy Stewart,
Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Wow, we were all on top of that one. Naming living actors, we were like fucking Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Jimmy Stewart.
James Stewart. Oh, I can't do it.
Now, Maria.
You got shot in the back.
This is what you wanted. You wanted this, Maria.
Yeah, you wanted revenge. And here we go. Let's get James Stewart on.
Well, you're nothing but a faker. That's all you are. You're a fake hedgehog. I'll show you who the fake hedgehog is.
Okay. I'm on board.
Sonic and the Black Knight came out in 2009 for the Wii. It was part of the games of the Sonic the Hedgehog series that came out on the Wii, which includes Sonic Colors, Sonic and the Secret Rings. Sonic and the Black Knight was in between those two, right? It was the sequel to Sonic and the Secret Rings, which had you controlling using the Wiimote on its side, and you tilted forward and backwards to control yourself. Sonic and the Black Knight is different. You use the nunchuck to control with the stick, and you have a sword, Caliburn, right? Is that it? Caliburn?
Caliburn is correct, but
okay, thank you.
There's a name change in the late game.
Oh, yes. Well, we'll get to we're getting into Sonic and the Black Knight is the point. And the reason that I bring it up as well while we're talking about the week's events, there was also that interview with Azuka-san where he was talking about many things with the Sonic series and his role at Sega, how he began, in fact, during Sonic 2, and then Sonic 3 was his first real project. That period, which kind of includes the development, I think it does include the development of Sonic and the Black Knight, where it was between Naka and Azuka in terms of who was leading Sonic Team. Naka leaves in 2006. Sometime a bit later in 2007 or so is when Azuka takes over. But there is a period of time where some projects are going through and they're much more led by the individual producer or director. So you get very different views of Sonic between Sonic 06, Sonic and the Secret Rings, Black Knight, Colors, Unleashed, and Unleashed on Wii. So a lot of different versions of Sonic in that short period of time, all ostensibly doing the same thing. So Sonic and the Black Knight, I just watched Jack complete the game last night on Twitch. And there's a lot to talk about with this game. Definitely curious to hear about the experiences of everybody with it. But Jack wanted to toss it to you for just kind of thoughts on the playthrough of this. You had come on the show before to defend Secret Rings, saying that Secret Rings is not as bad as it generally is reputed to be. How did you feel about Black Knight?
Black Knight was a mixed bag to me. So I think they wanted to learn. They did the thing that they always do with Sonic games, where they go, okay, what lessons should we take from the last game and how should we change it for the better? And they hear the right thing and do the wrong thing with it.
Yes.
So everybody hated the motion controls. I've already been on here defending those motion controls in the past. So they changed it to you run forward with the nunchuck and you slash your sword with the Wiimote. But that the motion controls are very important with that slashing, but it is coming from the school of 2006, the Wii just came out, boy isn't Waggle fun. So you're sitting there, you, dear listener, can't see this, but I'm just shaking my hand vigorously, and that's 90% of the controls of this game, and this is horrible and imprecise.
When people criticize the Wii for Waggle, this game is Waggle. Like, there's not a lot of precision to it. It really is just like shake weight. just sort of like just that waving motion, that waggling motion. Because it doesn't matter, like, if you thrust forward, right?
You can go in any direction you want, just as long as it is at the correct time, which, good luck. There's kind of a glowing indicator when you need to do it, and I hope you figured out your screen's input delay, because otherwise you're screwed.
Because you can slash not just bad guys, you can also hurt innocent townspeople as a feature in this game.
Yeah, as Sonic says in this game, I don't mind playing the bad guy every now and then.
Oh.
Yeah. Harmed townsperson. I saw quite a bit coming up on the screen while Ashlyn was playing it. I have to confess that a lot of the playthrough that on my end of it was watching Ashlyn play. I played some of it too. But she was even less precise because she was just like, again, it's like you can't see this, dear listener, but it was just like waggle, 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 waggle. And she's just got more, and I'm just not, but she'll do. And, but she doesn't pause, I guess is what I'm saying. She just waggle, waggle, waggles. And
always
bad guys cut.
Cutting.
Always, she's always be cutting. ABC. And sometimes innocent people get mowed down. And a lot of harmed town person.
Well, that's just how it was in the Middle Ages, right? Like, you just wandered the countryside waving.
Yeah, this game is nonfiction. This is the one game in the Sonic series that really happened.
I don't have a whole lot of history with this game. I've read about it. I've listened to the music, and it's a weird path we almost went down, right? So, like, this, can you imagine if the storybook series was like super successful,
right?
What have they done next? Okay, so we did Arabian Nights, we did Arthur's Kingdom.
Yeah,
you know what legendary, like, are we gonna get Norse gods Sonic? Like Sonic
Norse. You could do
they had
Greek.
Pirates as it was like Treasure Island was gonna be the third one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Treasure Island, that's a good choice. I was gonna say Old Testament, maybe they would have gotten that.
I want to play Old Testament Sonic.
Finally, Sonic Genesis.
Oh yeah.
So
whoa,
second thing
in the
is
beginning, there's nothing here.
In the beginning is the word. The word is awesome.
Who said that? Let there be what?
I should have put this together, but you know who is the lead game designer for Black Knight?
Our buddy Kishimoto.
It's Kishimoto, and you know, the storybook DNA is not really present in these later games, but you know, Kishimoto reigns supreme. He wins in the end.
He stuck around while everyone else went to Nintendo or something. Yeah, or wherever it was. they all left. Like the Generations director left, the Unleashed director left. They went to greener or less blue pastures, I guess you could say.
Greener hills.
Greener. Right. And
see, if you wanted to apply like a Kishimoto auteur lens to it, you could say that Black Knight and Forces both share a love of long, narrow hallways and big cinematic like segues between hallways.
They're also both like the shortest games in the series.
They're both very, very brief. Yeah, like 4 hours, you would say, Jack, for
4 hours. For Black Knight, Forces is about 5, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, 3 of them are that final boss. Second phase.
I don't know what the problem with the final boss is. I beat it on the first try.
And Forces? It's the middle
Forces,
phase.
Forces, yeah.
The middle phase is the tough one.
You got lucky. Yeah.
There's something wonky with that boss. Okay. So you went through all of Black Knight. I know there's a couple twists and turns, maybe one of the more infamous ones, which I think everyone gets warned about ahead of time, is the fake out ending. Now, I'm assuming you knew about that ahead of time.
I knew about the fake out ending in advance. I've heard the stories of people like, I beat the game, where Sonic's just like, yeah, I did it. And then the credits roll and it takes you back to the title screen and they're like, the fuck was that? And they put the game down for a month.
Yeah.
I, of course, knew this coming in. So I kept going. It's a fun twist. When I sit there and think about it, it's dumb, I guess. It's in the moment, you're like, oh, damn, Sonic's storytelling is back. I didn't see that coming. And then when you get to Merlina explaining why she did what she did, it's very stupid. It's just like, no, I saw a prophecy once that the King Arthur story is going to happen. Mm-hmm. What if we didn't let that happen because I don't like change? And then Sonic's like, no, the world ending is okay. It's okay to be sad about that, though. And, like, basically ruins everything for everyone and fucks off to go be late for a date with Amy.
It sounds like they did save the cat to Sonic, though. They got the false ending. They got the villain explaining the plot. Like, did somebody read a script writing book?
I'm gonna say this right now. I've never actually played the game. I have watched it. I have watched all the cutscenes. For years I would go to Best Buy and see it sitting there and it would say value $19.99 and go, is today the day that I finally buy Black Knight? And it never came to be, but one day maybe I will finally play it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but like Merlin actually, like, he's not anywhere in this game. Like, he exists as a concept. Like, Merlina is the granddaughter of Merlin, right?
Correct.
Right. So
I don't believe. Yeah. There's no real mention.
Right. So for her to be like, oh, I'm afraid of change. I don't want things to end. I don't want the legend of King Arthur to reach its conclusion. Isn't she like not part of that legend? Like, Merlin is the wizard. Merlina doesn't exist. Wouldn't she maybe exist after the end? So what is she actually upset about when it comes to the King Arthur?
There's some dumb plot holes in this whole thing. The game opens up with like Sonic being sucked through a portal and he's got two chili dogs in hand and he's like,
yeah,
cool, I understand what's happening here. Time for me to kill people. So he kills a bunch of people and
as you do,
defeats all the Knights of the Round Table, mm-hmm. takes all their weapons, defeats King Arthur, hands Merlina his weapon. And then Merlina's like, actually, there was never a King Arthur. This was just for this. So like, what was the point? Everything has already happened that she didn't want to have happen.
Yeah. So where is King Arthur? I mean, we do see the Knights of the Round Table. I mean, they look like Sonic characters. Right. This is also like one of maybe two Sonic games like that doesn't have Eggman in it, right? He's nowhere to be found.
There are some side missions where Eggman robots appear.
But not Eggman himself, not even in a King Arthur persona. Because he is in Secret Rings, right? He is the, the king.
Well, you know who's King Arthur.
Oh, yes. That's another twist or something.
Yeah.
Hey! Right. It connects to Sonic Underground is what you're saying.
Yeah.
The prophecy was foretold in this version. I don't know what happened to Sonya and Manic, but Sonic is destined to be... Okay,
before we go into Sonic Underground being canon with Sonic and the Black Knight, a couple of just quick points that I could see in playing the game and in watching Jack complete it, why people do like this game. Because it is pretty flashy. It looks pretty good. The graphics for Wii game look, you know, pretty... It's a fun setting, I think. And Sonic with a sword is pretty badass. And the characterization has good beats to it. Sonic is definitely at his most himbo, dumb dude. Like, there's one point during the ending climax where the evil queen, which I guess, so that's Merlina, right?
Yes.
She's like, let me tell you about the depths of my grief so you understand my actions. And Sonic's just like, no, I don't want to. And then jumps into action. And then it's like the boss fight. And it's like, all right, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to.
Cue the rock song. Mind.
Yeah, cue the rock song.
It's a good rock song.
It is a good... And then I guess this is also the only time that Sonic and Amy canonically have a date scheduled. Unless you count Sonic Adventure, because cute couples get in free to Twinkle Park.
I believe in the ending of Sonic Shuffle, Sonic and Amy are technically on a date. Or at least it's a date in Amy's mind. She's forcing Sonic to carry all of her shopping.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's kind of the same here, where it's like, it's kind of just a date in Amy's mind, where it's not necessarily that Sonic had confirmed that there was indeed a date.
Well, I guess the difference, though, is that we see the two chili dogs in the beginning, and he eats one very oddly. I'm going to say that right now. I've always thought it was odd, him shoving his fingers in his mouth, uncomfortable. But there's a second chili dog. He is not planning on eating that, because I guess it's for Amy. That's the implication. And it gets lost, and he's a bit sad. So I guess this is the first time he was like, oh, I'm going to give Amy a thing, even though it is just what he likes to eat. But it's still, you know, more than Sonic would generally give Amy. So it is a turning point in the relationship.
There's a lot of symbolism in there, right? Just gonna leave that there.
Listeners, if you have a really good analysis of the symbolism, you should email us at sonicweeklypodcast@gmail.com, and we can go do a deep dive on that.
If you tell us what the chili represents, that's the real question.
Jack, what do you think the chili represents?
Okay. All right, Sonic and the Black Knight. Bo has not played it. David has not played it. Grant has played it somewhat. Jack has played it to completion.
All right, so Jack in this instance is the expert of this particular Sonic game. How many villagers did you accidentally murder in the game?
I lost count. But there are side quests where you are specifically told to go trade with them. You collect rings, which are weird fairy things instead of actual rings. And then you have to slow down, walk up to them, press like the Z button on the nunchuck, and then do a quick time event mini game to convince them you're not going to murder them. Then you can give them 20 rings and they'll give you an item for crafting. So,
wow.
The murder count? Innumerable. Indecipherable. Unimaginable. The save count? About 8.
Well, I know it tallies it at the end. Like, do you get something if you save all them all?
It's just like a graveyard, right? Like, isn't it just like a long cutscene where, like, you see flowers being laid at each grave and...
You have to run by every grave. And you each grave you walk past, Sonic's feet get a little heavier.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how they do the credits. It's really dark. That's really
that's
weird.
That's why they're longer than Colors Ultimate, I think.
Yeah. Not as long as Superstars.
Yeah. Who didn't they thank in Superstars?
They didn't thank me, and I feel like they should have.
Yeah. Okay, so who's
thanked you in Sonic 3 and Sonic and Knuckles?
Right, yeah.
Bo.
Me and Milpo.
That's right. Who's responsible for more deaths? Sonic and these villagers, or Knuckles during Operation Earthquake?
We're gonna have to go to the tape on this one. There's gonna be a replay review. We'll get back to you in a few minutes.
Okay, it's a lot of counting there. All right,
Knuckles' characterization in Sonic Forces is good. It's in character for him to think he would be a good leader and good strategist because he had guarded the Master Emerald unsuccessfully during his tenure, had multiple mistakes with it. So it stands to reason that he would confidently assert himself as and like kind of even be like a little excited that Sonic is off the board so he can show off and then fucks it all up, sends thousands to their death.
Thousands.
And is just like, huh, well, how about that? That's why it's called war.
Wow.
Yeah, easily duped is not the greatest quality in a leader. But.
Exactly. But it makes sense that he would put himself in that situation to slip on that banana peel and in that metaphor. You know
what these fictional characters. It's kind of missing from his characterization since 1994 is sort of that smirking, I'm going to pull the switch to change the weather in Angel Island. And then I'm going to pull it up again a bunch of times just while I'm laughing at you.
Yeah. Yeah. He's definitely a little bit, I think he had kind of some of that energy in Frontiers, a little bit mischievous, but definitely not, you know, to the degree in 1994. It's definitely a flavor of his character that I would like to see return more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Jack, which of the core three knights did you like the most? Or maybe like the most character-wise and like the most playstyle-wise, if there's actually any difference between the three of them in Sonic?
They actually all do play a little bit differently, and playing each one of them is like, what if I played the game on hard mode in a different way? Sonic is just way better to play as. If you just want to get through the game, Shadow moves a little slower. His special attacks are a little slower, but they look cooler because he's the coolest.
All right. As established.
I'm the coolest.
Knuckles sucks at combat for some reason, he can glide over all the enemies, so you can just skip 90% of the levels. And Blaze just kind of sucks.
Oh, well,
it's just like, there's nothing special. She just sucks.
Oh.
Personality wise, they're all really one note. They're all just like, I think something's up with Arthur, but I'm a loyal knight, so I'm gonna do the thing. They play up Blaze as the strongest and she is the hardest boss fight, but those boss fights boil down to I'm gonna lose a bunch of times and then somewhere along the way my waggle is just gonna hit just right, and I'm just going to like one shot the boss.
It's a struggle. That's where I left off in my playthrough, is the Blaze boss fight. Pretty tricky. Pretty, pretty, pretty tricky. She's tough.
Yeah. It's
one tough cookie.
The characters, it's frustrating in that they're so one note. Because it's all just so that Sonic can go in and be like, all right, you guys have had a lifetime of being knights. I've been doing this for one day, and I'm going to tell you all to fuckle up, Buttercup, and get your shit together. And they do.
Wow.
That's it.
This was the last, project for this cast of voice actors, right?
That's my understanding.
Yeah, it was.
So at the end, you know, that you know, Jason's version of Sonic is talking about accepting that things end and, you know, enjoying the journey while it lasts. And that's his last recording. You can imagine some very sensitive teenager making a very overwrought AMV video at the time. Again, this is a straw man. This is a hypothetical person.
Right.
But you can imagine it being a person. It's not me. I'm not confessing
you.
To
this. It's not. You don't have a YouTube account.
No.
No, there wasn't an install of Windows Movie Maker.
It just came with Windows Millennium.
It's like, I didn't make this AMV, I swear. It came with the computer.
Neither confirm nor deny.
So, of the two storybook games, which is the better one?
Secret Rings.
Yeah,
like I don't even have to think about that.
Wow, I feel like there's just a hot take.
I think so too. I kind of feel like it's Black Knight, even though I finished Secret Rings, liked Secret Rings at the time. Black Knight, it feels better to control just because you aren't constantly moving. It's not an auto runner.
It's not an auto runner, but there aren't precision controls. Once the game asks you to actually do precision platforming, it's not there at all. And somehow, despite Secret Rings just being, I'm using tilt controls, you can get precision platforming out of it. And that alone makes it a more playable game to me. Like, Black Knight, flashier, prettier, better story. Secret Rings actually plays better. And at the end of the day, I'm sorry, y'all, but I'm not coming to Sonic for a storyline. I'm coming to Sonic to have fun playing a great 7 out of 10 platformer.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, well said. I mean, that is what we come here for.
Yeah.
That 7 out of 10.
Can't simplify that. Nope.
Those are relatively prime.
That's right. Because if you turn that 10 into a 5, what happens to the 7? It's 3.5, and that's strange. You got decimals on top of your fraction. Your 5th grade math teacher would start yelling at you. But you know what they wouldn't yell at you about? That's right. Listening to another episode of Sonic Weekly, which is what you just did. You played it on the school speaker system. Rolled out that CRT television and played it on a VCR. I don't know. What are we doing? What we're doing, of course, is doing a little role play at the end, imagining what situation you existed in listening to this episode. And as we try to come up with a better version of that, what you should do if you haven't already is, of course, subscribe to this podcast using your podcatcher of choice. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast Addict, the open source for an open heart. Or, hey, if you don't want to use a podcatcher, maybe I don't blame you. We've got a YouTube channel. It's at Sonic-Weekly. You got to have the at and you got to have the dash or you're going somewhere else. And you can listen to the same thing, but with some amazing gameplay footage recorded by none other than Jack of All Games, our guest this week. Thank you for that and for this, for all of it. Thank you for being here. That's what I'm saying.
Thank you, Jack.
If you want to get in touch with the show, I mentioned it earlier, we have our email account, sonicweeklypodcast@gmail.com. Throw us a line. We might read whatever it is you have to say. And if you want to get into our Discord server, hey, you got to email and ask for that exclusive link, and then you'll be able to talk with some like-minded Sonic the Hedgehog fans. And it's not all about Sonic in there. You know, there's some other wild times, but good times. Man, I always forget if there was something else before I thank Smoovies for the edit. He's the one who makes sure that what we say actually sounds good on the other end, and we thank him for those pristine edits. Of course, I always thank Bo and Grant for being here with me.
on this journey of Sonic the Hedgehog week after week, month after month. Maybe this week, I'll also thank Shadow the Hedgehog for teaching me how to be fearless.
You're welcome, David.